I have a paper written on meditation, and basically what it amounts to is what I talked about previously. Do not get into quiescent meditation. You'll never find any real revelations about yourself in quiescent meditation. And this is what, just exactly all you have to do is go back in the past. If you can't think about something in the present, go back in the past, and this will start to melt your egos. And then this is where you start to really find yourself. Go back in the past and look at things that happened to you. Like somebody that insulted you, some trauma, some sorrow, see? Some time that you embarrassed yourself. That's when somebody caught your ego for you, wanted to show it to you, you want to see it. These are the things to meditate about.
By quiz, you mean watch your meditation?
Yes, yes. Auto-suggestion that puts you, has a soporific effect. It's like a lullaby. It means to lullaby yourself to sleep.
No, just
think. Yes.
These are the opposite of what?
Yes, it's what I call traumatic meditation as opposed to quiescent meditation. And it doesn't take long. If you go home this evening, you have to get away, though. You should get away from the family or whatever for a half hour or so, and just get into the habit of sitting down. And it's amazing what will key it in. You don't have to go back in your diary. If you've got a diary, that's very good. I very seldom kept anything in the diary, but I remember that the best meditations that I had came as a result of reading Madame Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine, Isis Unveiled. I was fascinated with it in my early 20s, and it was the big books that I could read and read and read and reread and never get done. But I found that I would be reading something about the yogis in India or something, and all of a sudden I would remember something I did 10 years before. No correlation. I don't know why it caused it. But I believe that don't sit down and say, I am going to think about when I was 10 years of age. This is foolishness. You have to just sit, but have this thought in the back of your head that this is what you really, really want to think about, and ultimately it'll come. You can use a diary. A diary is very good, or something of that sort.
There's this game here. Transcendental meditation people make a lot of claims about the benefits of the meditation. Do you think they're untrue, or do you think it's just not generally suited for the majority of people?
Well, I was a little bit turned away from TM because of the money involved. I don't think that you should charge somebody for a syllable. But the funny thing is that if you want to build a movement, there's nothing like money to cement the movement together, you know. So I've known some people that took TM, and then they took TM teaching, and they went to Switzerland. This one boy went to Switzerland, paid $1,200 debt, I think it's something out of that, for the privilege of taking a rake off of the people he taught. And I thought this whole construction was unnecessary, that was all. Now, as for the good it does, if it helps somebody, if a guy pays $75 or $80 in, and it quiets his mind, and he finds peace, and he's able to get away from some hang-up, it's well worth the $80. It's well worth the $80 if it does that for him. So, but I still just, it's just my personal idea, I don't believe in, I believe you could give it to him for nothing. But if you did, the Maharaji, or whatever his name is, Maharishi, would have to pay his way over here and back to give it away for nothing. Of course, that's the thing is, what is excessive, first class, or should he went back on a boat, see? It's what is exorbitant pricing, or is it? Dream analysis. No, I don't. I think sometimes they will. It's good to record your dreams. I think it's a good idea to record your dreams because some dreams, of course I'm talking to myself, I can't speak for everybody. Some people may have all one type of dream. I don't know. But But some dreams are prophetic. Some dreams are, you will dream of the future. And it's good to write them down. Others will break, especially if you keep them over a period of 10 or 20 years, others will, you will start to see certain hang-ups that, that show an effect upon your dreams. And you'll be able to see your hang-ups through reading the dreams of 2 or 3 years back, or the stuff in them. Like you dream of going on a picnic and you're sitting there meditating about something that happened 5 years ago, and you want, and you, so you open up this book of dreams and you realize that you were on a picnic. The picnic correlates an argument that occurred at the picnic, or a love affair that occurred after the picnic was over, or something of that sort. And you start back into this film, this roll of film. See what I mean? So it works in that respect, taking you back. I do believe that the dreams are, there's, you're trying to tell yourself something in a lot of dreams. A lot of them are. Or, and also sometimes it's a, I found that you're able to see, at least I have been able to see people more clearly when I dreamt of them than when I met them face to face. Seeing that I dreamt of the, what was behind the personality mask. Invariably I would get a much more accurate, much more tolerable picture than the one I had by talking to them face to face. So there is a value to recording dreams. Gain what? Well, I don't believe that that should ever be. I don't believe you ever expect power. I don't think it, that's necessarily good along with it. And I don't know that if I realize that the older I get, the more power I seem to have. And I don't particularly look for it. And I don't know why it comes. I don't know where it comes from, to be honest with you. Whether it's a result of you know, the experience, or was it just a result of studying these things and having them in my head for 40 or 50 years. But I do, I've heard this repeatedly, that in Asia as well, people who had reached that, some of them had a tremendous amount of power. But I don't visualize it as my power. I don't visualize it as me doing anything. I never have. I'm sometimes surprised by things that happen around me. So, but I do believe that there's a change in me. There's an ability to affect the projected stage play to a degree. To a degree. There's a limit to the amount of change anybody can cause. But to a degree, you can affect it. You can affect other minds. You can definitely affect other minds. You can enter other minds, if you want to call that power. You can pick up. Like I said, if you ever attended one of the rapport sessions, which I said, this is what we generally do, is try to get the habit of finding a rapport so that you can enter other minds. You can heal people. It's worth it. No, it's not worth it. Whereas, in fact, I inhibited a lot of this stuff because I found that it became a sideshow. I had people coming down to the place, coming over from Boston, get over 15 or 20 of them coming in from other cities just to sit there and wait for a sideshow, and I quit. So they weren't coming there to work. They weren't, it's all right to see the sideshow if you're going to say, well, let's go to work now. Let's see if we can duplicate that in our own nature. They don't. Instead, they go back in the old rat race and continue what they were doing. But it's not unusual to see someone have an experience in a rapport session. It wasn't in the past, but now I don't allow it to happen because the ones that had them didn't work. They didn't try to pass it on. They have to, the person has to work. In other words, I maintain that there's a fellow said last night, somebody has to carry the torch. In other words, if you receive something, you should help. In other words, even presuming that we're all part of the absolute, we're also, as that boy said back there, we're all individuals as well. It's like the sun. The sun is the sun, but it has billions of rays. So the analogy between the human and the absolute is like the rays of the sun. And if the rays are lost their way out from the central sun and they can help each other get back, well, and good.